Support for the Financial Samurai podcast and the following message comes from Wonder Capital, the easiest way to invest in large-scale solar energy projects across the U.S. With Wonder, you can help finance renewable energy projects while earning up to 7.5% annually. To get started, visit wondercapital.com/samurai, S-A-M-U-R-A-I. Wonder Capital, where impact investing meets capitalism. Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai. And in this episode, we're going to talk about why real estate will always be more desirable than stocks. So for most of my post-college life, I've had a drastically large exposure to real estate over stocks. I needed a place to live, so I figured out it was better to pay a mortgage than to pay someone else rent. And when it was time to buy another property, I would simply rent out the place for positive cash flow and enjoy my new place until it was time to rent it out again and then buy a new place. So do it over and over again. In your life, you can probably accumulate three properties relatively easily, build some passive income, and be done with it. What's so hard about that, right? Well, obviously, it is hard because you have to come up with that down payment. In the past, maybe you'd come up with no down payment as the banks lent you everything you wanted, but now it's like at least 10% or 20% if you're responsible and want to avoid PMI insurance. So now that my exposure to stocks and real estate are much more equal after the sale of a San Francisco rental house in 2017, I've had time to think about the two asset classes in a much more objective manner. And during this time, I've noticed that anti-housing crusaders have reached megaphone status noise levels where they're just bashing the asset class, making fun of people who buy these homes, talk about how they are going to be restricted because once you have a mortgage, you can't travel or go anywhere. They talk about, hey, once you buy a property, you might lose it to a natural disaster, and so on and so forth. So in this episode, I want to address why real estate will always be more desirable than stocks, and the main reason points to the human condition. So if you haven't figured it out, the number one reason by far why real estate will always be more desirable than stocks is that you crave what you can't have. And there I said it. I know this is going to piss off people who don't own, who want to own, or who are simply anti-housing, but you simply want what you cannot have. The people who are most vocal against real estate are the ones who have the most desire for real estate. They're the activists who rally and push government to enact laws that tax foreign buyers, tax absentee property owners, and push the government to build more housing because their rent is too damn high. And that's really understandable. They are the bloggers who cherry pick a bad home sale to prove prices are weakening in an obviously booming city. I mean, it's so comical. There's like this one property site here in San Francisco that continues to talk about how property is going to crash and continues to highlight these really bad examples of price weakness when everywhere around property prices have been going up for the past 5 years. And this blogger could have made a fortune if he actually was on the right side of the trade, but no, he continues to be in denial. Who else is most vocal against real estate? They're your friends and acquaintances who call you a trust fund baby or try and rub it in your face how free they are because they rent and you don't. So let's be clear, to buy real estate responsibly, you need to go through these steps. One, you need to save enough for a 20% down payment. Two, you need to have a financial institution deem you credit worthy enough to qualify you for a mortgage. Three, you've got to make an offer attractive enough to be accepted by the seller. And then finally, you have to have the guts to agree to the terms and take on the property. So at each of the four stages, there's risk of rejection or failure. It takes a lot of discipline and sacrifice to save $300,000 for the down payment on a median-priced home in New York City while you're in your 20s and 30s, and therefore most people don't do it, and then they get pissed at those who do. The human condition assigns luck to the achievement of others and skill to our own achievements. And due to more stringent lending standards since the financial crisis, the average credit score for those qualifying for a mortgage is over 720, which is an excellent credit score. And banks also won't lend to folks with debt-to-income ratios of over 43%. And if you get rejected for a mortgage, which happened to me, you will naturally rage against the bank and the housing institutions, right? I remember I was so angry when I applied for this mortgage refinance. The 10-year bond yield was at an all-time low, and I could get a 5/1 ARM for like 2.25%. It was so good. I went through 2 months of application and discussions, and then the bank rejected me. And I was like, what the hell, guys? I'm never going to do business with you guys again. I have never paid something late in terms of my mortgage, at least. And my assets are high. Come on, guys. You're killing me here. So anyway, no more business with that financial institution. Where else? In competitive housing markets, it's common to get rejected multiple times before finally giving an offer good enough to be accepted. You go to San Francisco, I mean, it's common for people to lose 5, 6, 7 times. It's just kind of crazy, and it kind of beats you down because you start dreaming of what your life would be like in the property you are pursuing. So get rejected enough and you'll either put out some crazy high offer, which is what the seller and the broker wants, to your detriment, or you're going to get really bitter at the entire process, which I kind of was in the fourth quarter of 2017 when I was looking at places. Look, I was lowballing, you know, some offers, but like, yeah, hey, I still got rejected. It doesn't feel good. And then once your offer is accepted, there's a lot of fear. You got to put down 30% earnest money, right? A deposit that you will lose if you back out. You've got to release the financing contingencies and the inspection contingency. And, you know, you just have to muster up the courage to transfer a good chunk of savings into escrow, and in most cases, assume a mortgage. So plenty of people get cold feet and back out from their offer. It takes guts to take risk to build some wealth. And if you backed out only to see the property resell years later for lots more than you could have bought it for, of course you're going to get pissed off. Now let's look at how difficult it is to acquire stock. The barrier to entry to buying stock is pretty much zero. You now have robo-advisors who can build you an entire portfolio for just $500. You can open up an account at one of those big brokerage firms with $100 and buy commission-free ETFs if you want. There's even new fintech companies that allow you to trade commission-free. So the barrier entry is pretty much zero. When anybody and everybody can buy stock, stock simply becomes less desirable. And when there is only one panoramic ocean view property on a 10,000 square foot lot with a hot tub time machine owned by someone who will never sell, of course the property will be more desirable than any of the hottest stocks on the planet. I have a friend who lives in the quote, the Gold Coast in San Francisco. It's funny, there's always a Gold Coast somewhere in some city, and houses never come up. They seldom ever come up. Because why? It's a very desirable piece of land, and these folks don't need to sell. They'll just keep on passing it down to their heirs. So when a property does come up, you can't even get it because it's actually been like sorted out. It's been allocated to someone, a friend of a neighbor or something. It's that desirable. So bottom line, because acquiring real estate is much more difficult than acquiring stock, owning real estate will always be more desirable than owning stocks. Before we continue, let's have another word from our sponsor, and we'll talk about other reasons why real estate is an attractive investment asset class. Support for Financial Samurai is brought to you by Wonder Capital, the easiest way to invest in large-scale solar energy projects across the U.S. Experts at Bloomberg estimate that $2.8 trillion will be invested in solar energy by 2040, and that's a great thing because electricity costs have gradually risen over time. With Wonder Capital's solar investment platform, individuals can now take advantage of this economic opportunity. Visit wondercapital.com/samurai to find out how you can begin investing in solar energy projects while earning up to 7.5% annually, while also helping in the fight against climate change. Again, that's wondercapital.com/samurai. S-A-M-U-R-A-I. Wonder Capital, where impact investing meets capitalism. Alrighty. Welcome back. So let's talk about 10 more reasons why real estate is attractive. One, you're the CEO, not a minority investor. How many times have you invested in a public company only to see some kind of shady scandal happen where the CEO or the CFO or some manager gets ousted for doing something stupid? How many times do you see a CEO get ousted with a $100 million, mega million, whatever exit package, even though they drove their stock to the ground? So I don't like that. And investing in stocks requires you to sit there passively hoping for the best. Whereas if you're the CEO of your property, hey, you can make some changes. You can remodel. You can hustle harder to get better tenants, do some screening and so forth. Two, leverage other people's money cheaply. You know, thanks to mortgage interest rates coming down for the past 30 years, you can borrow for cheap. I got down to 2.25% on a 5-1 ARM eventually. My primary mortgage is 2.5%. My rental property, when I had a mortgage, was 3.35%. There's no more mortgage now. So hey, cheap money, pretty good, bringing more liquidity to the real estate market, which in turn puts upward pressure on prices. Even if real estate only tracks inflation over the long run, a 2 or 3% increase on a property where you put 20% down is a 10% to 15% cash on cash return. At this rate, in 5 years, you will have doubled your equity. 3, more tax advantages for real estate investors. Not only can you deduct interest up to $750,000 in mortgage indebtedness on your primary home in 2018 and beyond, you can also sell your primary home for tax-free profits of up to $250,000 for singles and $500,000 for married couples. And then you have depreciation, a non-cash expense, which shields your rental income from taxes. And the list goes on and on. 4, real estate is a tangible asset. It's something you can see, feel, and utilize. Life is about living, and real estate can provide a higher quality of life compared to a rental that is not properly maintained. I've always believed in buying real estate for living first, cash flow second, and then principal appreciation third. Don't even count on the principal appreciation because you're too busy enjoying life in the property. With stocks, there is no utility unless you spend the dividends or sell positions to purchase something. As a minority investor, the feeling of owning my primary residence is 100 times greater than the feeling of owning this iPhone, which I'm doing my podcast on. Despite owning like $150,000 in Apple stock, it doesn't really matter. So 5, easier to analyze and make better investment decisions. Real estate is quite simple. You basically look at the rents, you look at the operating expenses, you look at the job market, and you make a bet that way. Whereas with stocks, it's not so simple. You've got to analyze the income statement, the cash flow statement, and the balance sheet. And then you've got to analyze the competitive pressures that continues to encroach on your moat, which might be real or it might be fake. Who knows? If you buy an individual stock, you might do incredibly well, let's be honest. But you might also lose your shirt because you misjudged competitive pressures. For example, anybody who bought Blue Apron stock at the IPO at $10 a share is now down 78% because they misjudged Amazon coming to the market and crushing them. And they misjudged the operating expenses it takes to run this type of business. Anybody who bought Lehman Brothers or Enron lost everything as well. So at least with real estate, it's easier to estimate rental income, occupancy levels, new supply, job growth, and population growth. And if you don't do it properly, yeah, you will lose money too, especially if you're leveraged, but you're not going to lose everything. You're still going to have that property standing there unless, you know, there's like some big earthquake that swallows your property whole. All right, 6. Less visible volatility. Your house value could be tanking and you would never know it since there's not a daily ticker symbol to look at. Yeah, there's like these online real estate companies now which can show you and tell you the estimated value of your house, but it's not like you're looking at it every day on your laptop or on TV. Sure, you can obsessively check, but you probably won't. And I remember during the 2008 and 2009 downturn, I'm sure I probably lost like, I don't know, $400,000 in my primary residence that I ended up selling in 2017. But I wasn't sweating it because, hey, I'm just living life and my vacation rental in Lake Tahoe probably losing $200,000 to $400,000 as well. And it was stressful, but it wasn't as stressful as losing money in the stock market where I saw all the red every single day on my laptop and computer screen and TV and so forth. So when your investment is less volatile, it's much easier to stay the course and not sell at the bottom. 7, there's a greater source of pride owning real estate. So after a while, making money for money's sake is a pretty empty feeling. And that's exactly what you're doing when you're investing in stocks. Money needs to be used for something, such as buying real estate for shelter. And every time I drive by my rental property, I do feel proud to have made the purchase in 2003 when I was 26 years old and I was hustling and saving and trying to make something for my future. With every comparable sale, the rental reminds me that taking a risk back then turned out to be a great move. I have zero sense of pride with my stock portfolio, nothing. There's no defining moment when I bought this stock for this reason, nothing. And it's partly because nobody sees it and nobody uses it. But with real estate, that purchase, man, I remember clearly signing those documents, sitting in an empty living room, celebrating with my girlfriend at the time. It was a special moment. 8, real estate is more insulated. If you've made a good decision to buy in an economically strong region, you will be more insulated from the national economy or the global economy. Look at prices in superstar cities like London, Hong Kong, Singapore, Paris, and San Francisco. They fall the least, recover the soonest, and gain the most. Of course, to be fair, industries in your area could suddenly disappear and leave you broken as well. If tech ever collapses, my real estate holdings will be crunched. Therefore, I did diversify and sell off one of my San Francisco properties and reinvested the proceeds across the heartland of America. 9. The government is fighting for you. There are two organizations in the world not worth fighting against. One is the Federal Reserve, and two is the central government, and maybe the IRS, which is part of the government. So not only do you get generous mortgage interest tax deductions and tax-free profits, the government sometimes bails out overextended homeowners during bad times. We saw this over and over again with HARP 1.0 and HARP 2.0. The government was just hammering financial institutions to give us a break. And guess what? I actually got a break. I got a free loan modification on my vacation property mortgage from Bank of America, even though I didn't need it. I surely wanted it because my property was going down in value. But basically, Bank of America cut my 30-year fixed mortgage from a whopping 5.875% down to 4.25% for free. Finally, you'll save your children from angst and despair. This is what I'm seeing, reading, and hearing all week long whenever I look at my news feeds about real estate. When you die, you can pass on your real estate holdings to your children using a stepped-up cost basis to let them create their own memories tax-free. With the estate tax limit threshold now $11 million per person, you've now got twice the room to pass on assets tax-free than during the last administration. All the people who are anti-housing now are wasting their energy protesting the real estate market because you know in 20, 30 years from now, real estate is going to be higher. And you know if you ever have kids, your 20-year-old or 30-year-old son or daughter will ask you, "Mom, Dad, why didn't you buy property so much cheaper 30 years ago when you had a chance? That would have made life much easier." Something to think about. But of course you're going to tell them, "Hey son, daughter, go make your own money and buy your own house. This house is for me." No, I don't know. It's up to you, right? So there you have it. You've got plenty of reasons why real estate is an attractive investment class and why I think real estate will always be more attractive than stocks. Real estate FOMO is the illest. It is just unbelievable how much anxiety people have who don't own, who want to own. In a bull market, the average person's day job will likely never catch up to their local real estate market. For example, when the San Francisco median home price jumped from $1 million to $1.1 million the next year, that would require the median income of $80,000 to jump 125% just to stay even. It's easy to see how one can feel a tremendous amount of despair in this kind of market. But the good thing is that real estate goes in cycles. You are seeing markets like Toronto, New York City, London, and even here in San Francisco soften a little bit due to new supply, rising mortgage rates, residents moving away, just sick and tired of the high cost of living, and property prices simply far outstripping wage increases over the past 5 to 10 years. So downturns will usually last like 2 to 3 years before stabilizing and then resuming their upward trajectory. So now is the time. If you want to buy real estate and own your primary residence at the very least, you've got to be focused on saving as much money as possible as you can. Maybe go job hop for that better job opportunity with the higher pay and the higher promotion. It might be a little risky, but if that's what it's going to take for you to acquire more money so you can save more money for that down payment, it might be worth it during the next 2 to 3 years. It's really important not to fool yourself into thinking that real estate is a bad investment. It is obviously a great investment since the founding of our country. Real estate continues to go up, at least with inflation. So if you're neutral inflation, you're going to be okay. But if you're short inflation by renting all these years, you're probably not going to be as okay, or you might be in bad shape. Nobody feels good about shorting the stock market for the last 20 years, 30 years, 50 years. So why should you be happy shorting the real estate market by renting during this time period as well? So I'd love to hear from all of you regarding this debate between real estate and stocks. I don't see it as a mutually exclusive investment asset class. I think people should invest in both. But I want to hear from the anti-housing crusaders why real estate really is a bad investment. I just don't get it because it seems so obvious that fortunes have been made in the past and fortunes will probably be made in the future. So thanks everybody for listening, and I look forward to reading and hearing your thoughts.